Welcome to the gospel meeting, and I'd like to have three words that if you can't remember anything else, you'd remember these three words. And they've been said perhaps a dozen times this weekend. It's three words that we all understand. God is good. It's because God is good that we have the gospel, and the gospel is good news or glad tidings. So we'll start with a song, number 23, and as was referred to earlier, especially the third verse, it's a plead. So number 23.
Behold the Lamb of God on the cross, For us he shed his precious blood on the cross.
Don't know what the thought was on this piece of paper that the local brothers put together. It was back there and it ended up on my chair, and I didn't know what it was at first. I enjoyed the verses and I folded it and put it in the back of my Bible. But reading through the verses, and if you have it, read along, it brings out the goodness of God. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. John 4:10. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 107:21-22. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. So I ended up thinking it was probably for a bookmark. If you do have it, I would suggest putting it in Colossians 1, because we're going to turn to Colossians 1 a couple times. But before we turn there, give you the setting of where we're going to be reading. There's four men, and they were all sitting on the ground. And it was quite a sight that they were sitting in. I take it they probably sitting in a circle. One man, his name was Job. There was Eliphaz. There was Zophar. There was Bildad. And Job was quite a sight to be seen. He had passed through a lot. He had sores on his body. And these three men, they came to see him. These four men were very wise men. They knew a lot. There's perhaps never been four more wiser men in the things of this earth than these four men that were sitting there. I don't think you could find four men today that had the wisdom that these four were sitting. May look at Job, and he was thinking of his circumstances. And he was judging God according to his circumstances. Look at another one, Eliphaz. And he could think of his experiences that he had gone through. And his thoughts of God were based off of those experiences. You have another one, Bildad. His thoughts of God were based off of tradition. And so far, the last one, his thoughts of God were based off of his knowledge. You know, none of those items in themselves are wrong. But when we base who God is off of those things, we do not know the goodness of God. We see things inwardly, and they may become an idol to us. And I'm not here to pick on these four men, but things that they said are quite profound, and thankfully we have the New Testament to turn to find out who God is. But we're going to at least look at three of the men and things that they said. The first one will be in Job 11. So this will be Zophar. And going to read several verses, not going to talk about each one. But Job 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain man, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. These four men, they've been sitting for about a week. Nothing has been said. But now they're speaking. And one case, man said, I just can't help but speak. And they're throwing darts at Job. sometimes the darts hit Job's conscience, but they pose these questions that they have no answer to. So the first question, what can't or canst thou by searching find out God? Looking in ourselves, we cannot find out God. He was right that you can go out as far as you can into space. That's not going to reveal that God is good. Say the grave or Sheol, that's not going to display the goodness of God. Verse 10, perhaps the judgment, God gathering together for judgment, that doesn't display the goodness of God. Verse 11, God sees the wickedness. And then verse 12, for vain or empty man would be wise, though man be poor, like a wild ass's colt. If a colt is born to a wild ass, that colt is wild also. We each are like a wild ass's colt. We want our own way. We've gone away from God. Adam and Eve in the garden, they turned away from God. We may have the thought that, well, I don't feel wild. I obey the laws of the land. I do what is right. I'm good. But we'll get to it later. I think of had a calf barn, and there was an aisle down the middle of the calf pens. And at the end of the calf barn is where the cows sometimes were for the calves to go drink. You let a calf out to go down and drink from the cow, it would be leaping and bounding to go down. Say, well, that's a wild calf. Well, there were other calves watching. They were inside a pen. Even though they were inside the pen, they did the same thing. They were jumping. They were bouncing. Even though they weren't free. And for us, may look at far distant lands and what happens there. We become occupied with it. It's within us. We leap and we respond to it. Bad news, we respond to it. We're like a wild ass's colt. But what has God done? Let's turn to Exodus 32. Had before us redemption. Is there anything that can be done for a wild ass's colt? Sorry, Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 20. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. The firstling of an ass, wild ass's colt, had to be redeemed with the lamb. We had John 1, behold the Lamb of God. In Exodus 22, God himself shall provide a lamb. Redemption was only by a lamb. So, like I mentioned, Colossians 1, going to read a couple of verses here. The first verse, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word, of the truth of the gospel which is come unto you. Then we'll jump down to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There is God the Father in his goodness, providing that Lamb, his Son, for our redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we're born as a wild ass's colt, but God has provided that Lamb for redemption. The next one that we're going to look at back in Job is in chapter 15. And this is Eliphaz speaking. So once again, can we search out God? God has revealed himself. So Job 15, verse 7. Art thou the first man that was born, or wast thou made before the hills? Hast thou heard the secret of God, and dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? With us are both the gray-headed and very aged men, much elder than thy father. Are the consolations of God small with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Why doth thine heart carry thee away, and what do thy eyes wink at, that thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth? What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. This last verse that we read, man can't help it. We can't help it. Last Tuesday, two fathers and six children between the ages of 12 to 5, walking along a pathway in a park. It was pretty setting. There's a river, a bridge, and some rocks along the walkway. What do you think six children are going to do in that setting? There's a little walkway bridge across the river with some rocks. Well, I think we all know. They're going to pick up rocks, go onto the bridge, and throw them in. Now, the fathers stand there and be a little more civilized and not be the ones throwing the rocks in. But the fathers were also giving direction on where to throw the rock in and what rock to get to make a bigger splash. There's nothing wrong with throwing rocks into the water, but what I'm wanting to bring out is that was the nature, the setting for the children, and that's what they enjoy to do. When it comes to our nature, we enjoy sin because our nature is sin. With our nature being sin, we have put ourselves as an enemy against God. And that was verse 13, that thou turnest thy spirit against God and lettest such words go out of thy mouth. We cannot help ourselves. We have turned ourselves against God. We have positioned ourselves to be an enemy to God. But going backwards in what we read, back to verse 7, "Art thou the first man that was born, or wast thou made before the hills? Hast thou heard the secret of God? Dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself?" There was one that was before the hills. We turn to Proverbs 8. This is wisdom being brought forth. Proverbs 8. Verse 22, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, where there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not compass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing in the habitable," or rejoicing always before him, "rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth." So here was one that was before time. One that was with the Father. I had mentioned earlier Deuteronomy 32, where, I'll quickly read that verse, where the statement is made, "Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures?" Here is one that God found his delight in. It was among his treasures, something from eternity, always there. But what would be done with that one that was from eternity, always with him, God the Son? Back to Colossians 1. So